stood at this auditorium on a Tuesday night, and I can use one of these. And it was a Bible class for young men learning how to speak. Brother Wendell said, do not ever apologize from the pulpit about a situation or whatever. I am not dying, I just have asthma. And we're going to get through this. That's my first disclaimer. For you Bible students,
there's a better marker than a whole bunch of right down the corner of the podium.
Yeah, I just pulled one from there. Oh. It's okay. I'll just scribble. This is going really well. That's point 009. And we'll move on. That's as bad as my cough. Some numbers mean a lot to God, and sometimes numbers don't mean anything. But that number is going to represent something we're going to talk about here in a little bit that is Bible related. Our story opens up with a man secretly beating out wheat in a wine press to keep it from being taken by the Midianites. For the last 7 years, raiders from three separate countries had been taking their food and supplies, and Israelites were now starving. An angel comes to Gideon and tells him of God's plan to rescue Israel from their enemies. And the first thing he told him to do was to cut down his father's grove, pull down the idol, and destroy it. And that night, that's just what he did. That story was taught to me in this basement time after time after time as I grew up. One of my favorites as a young man, because it had miracles, battles, great faith, courage, and in the end, God prevailed. So now all these years later, what can an old 67-year-old man learn from a story, an event that happened so long ago? Something else that's interesting, I'm just throwing in. This story somewhat parallels, because we're talking about Gideon and the group. There was another story about 300 guys. They went to battle. And the more I kept looking, the more the story changed. And what happened to them. And how it worked out. And that happened a lot sooner, or a lot later than this. It's interesting, God wants to be specific, and he's specific in this story also, as to exactly what happened. Our next scene is not the normal raiding party coming into Canaan from the east, but a massive army crossing the fords of Jordan River and up into the Jezreel Valley. Well, how large was it? It wasn't one army, it was three that had gathered together. The Midianites, the Amalekites, and the people of the east. And if you can use your imagination, and sometimes I do with the scriptures, Judges 12:7-12 says, they lay along the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number, as the sands of the sea. God's telling you, this is a really, really large army. Gideon sounds his trumpet. 32,000 men show up for battle. Well, that doesn't seem like much to me, but who knows? Do you think once he got the 32,000 counted, he thought, you know, God, I'm going to need to ask you for a few more men. I don't know. But the reaction from God was, oh, by the way, Gideon, you have too many. And God had a simple test to reduce them. Gideon's told to look at all of these men that have come for battle and say, if you're afraid, if your heart's not in it, go home. If you didn't bring your courage, this isn't the place for you. 22,000 went home. 2/3 left because they physically came but didn't bring their courage or their heart with them. 2/3 of those men fell that day to faint-heartedness. A willingness to leave the battle, retreat from the engagement, surrender from the commitment to God. And what did it cost those 22,000 men? They didn't get to see God's power, God's might, or God's glory. By the way, thank you, David, for the water. Cup of cold water in my name. I was thinking about going to get some. They didn't believe that impossible was possible with God. We've got 10,000 men left. He probably thought to himself, God, let's not do this again. We've got enough guys. God said, you've got too many already that you well know. The next test has to do with mindset, learnedness, and readiness. I don't know about you, but if I were Gideon, my head would be spinning. God, we have too many. God sent them down to the water to get a drink, and 9,700 of them got down and drank like animals. They didn't pay attention to what was around them. They put down what was in their hands and drank like an animal. They were told that they weren't prepared for God's battle either. Now comes the number on the board. That number on the board represents less than 1% of the men that started out on this campaign. Less than 1%. And God said, that number will do. And God's reason is found in Judges 7:2. The people that are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into your hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. All right, now we're down to 300. Back to our army. This great army had to all fit into the Jezreel Valley. I did some calculations, wrong or right. This seems to be, unless they spilled over other places, this is about the size of Lee's Summit in Independence in square miles put together. These 300 men, what they saw when they made their way up from the spring of Herod, moving north up through the hills as the sun was setting, onto the high ground of Endor. I, for one, would be happy to take a peek. What are you going to see? Like nothing they'd ever imagined. It had to be, to some extent, overwhelming. But this is what God's two tests had brought these men to. This is the reward that was coming for these 300 men and their leaders for being faithful, brave, and ready to follow God and to participate in God's victory. Okay, that's not enough. All they had, as you well know, a trumpet in their right hand and a jar with fire in it in their left. There wasn't a sword, a spear, or a shield among them. This is not how Gideon learned to be a man of valor. This was faith. Nothing to fight with, nothing to fend with, except God. And they were going to do something that armies did not do back then, ever, from what I read. They were going to do this all at night. The scripture says it happened at the start of the second watch, which would be about 10 o'clock in the evening. The battle cry, a sword for the Lord and for Gideon. Gideon led the men into battle, but it was God who led the men into his glory. Why a trumpet and a jar and fire? I don't know, but fire does represent the Holy Spirit. Jars of clay represent our bodies, and trumpet, the Lord's battle cry. It does remind me of Isaiah 41:13. For I, the Lord your God, hold your right hand. It is I who say to you, fear not, I am the one who helps you. So, what do I, and perhaps you, learn from Gideon? It's easy to say, don't be afraid. When I encounter difficult situations, circumstances, why do I consider them impossible situations? Or at least what I call impossible. Well, that's an easy tendency for me. It's a nice block. It's a nice, thank you God, but I just can't go there. Things mount up, they overwhelm. Trying times can be intimidating. Whether it's my fault, whether it's my failures, or just circumstances beyond my control, there are situations that I've encountered, and perhaps you, that just seem impossible. Pretty easy in Mark 10, Luke 1, Luke 18, to stand up here and say, boy, when things are good, everything's possible with God. How is it that I go from sure to unsure, confident to hopeless, can to can't so quickly? Well, Peter did it in front of Christ in a real short amount of time when there was some water involved, didn't he? I don't know about you, but I can pull despair, anxiety, and even depression out of my back pocket in a flash. How do we so soon forget who we are and where we came from? And it happened to the children of Israel time and time again. Let's examine just for a moment the word seems, as in seems impossible. Well, we just can't. I can't imagine an ending, a good ending to this situation. I can't visualize this. How on earth is this going to be resolved successfully? It appears there's just no way for good to come out of them. I have said those words time and time again. Fear shortens our spiritual memory. Looking at what is closing in on us blurs our spiritual vision. Dread of what may be coming limits our ability to pray. Worry clouds our decisions, and all of these negative prospects lures us closer and closer to actually believing that God just can't help us. Because we can't see. God gives us his vision. We just need to open the scriptures and study and spend a lot of time praying. If I rely on just my feelings and emotions to be in control, they will manage my thoughts and direct my actions. Then my life's decisions are solely dependent on what moves me at the time, and worse yet, they become my compass for the rest of my life. We, perhaps as humans, use the word impossible, and this immediately excludes God. We're telling him there's nothing he can do. Sorry, there's no way you can help. Your involvement just isn't going to fix things. And is that what we're saying to God? Jeremiah 32:27 says, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" 22,000 of Gideon's men thought it was impossible, and they went home. And they missed seeing the most glorious thing, the most wonderful thing that could have happened in their lives. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Be prepared and willing to serve. Some opportunities are battles. And God says all battles are opportunities. We must take them up no matter the difficulty or challenge. They will test us and try us. And this is when God tells us and the world, if we prevail, that we are children of God. To not take up the mantle, put on the armor, raise the banner of Christ is announcing to God that we believe the world's definition of impossible is right. Impossible is unattainable, it's unachievable, and it's hopeless. And if we're not fighting the daily battles of life with our Lord leading us, we are losing our personal wars. God used 0.9% of who showed up to get his plan accomplished. That's a pretty special group of people. And you know what I'm going to say next, don't you? Are we a special group of people? Are we the royal priesthood? Goes on and on. He expects us to be. I'll take 2 minutes to reminisce. How did a few others handle impossible situations? Daniel prayed. Stephen forgave. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego just said no. Hannah gave. David trusted. Abraham believed. Abigail acted. Joseph kept the faith. Paul stayed the course. It is about perception. As the old saying may apply, never say never. For you never know what God has in store for you before you leave this world. Gideon in his wild imagination never thought that he would fight a massive army and never have a sword in his hand. But he had, didn't he? He had God. We need to realize that we may end up serving the Lord in a situation or circumstance which we never expected could happen. And we need to pick up the mantle and go on. This may cause us to sacrifice. It may cause us to sacrifice lots of precious things. It may even ask us to sacrifice some relationships in our life. And last, and God says, but not least, give him the glory. He asked for it with Gideon and the 300 men. The world found out about that. And he asked that of us. God didn't want this victory to just be memorable. He wanted it to be miraculous. Unforgettable. Don't lose track of this. To the 300 men, to all of Israel, and to us today. The good deed is done. The crisis passed. The sacrifice has been made. Now giving God the glory can sometimes come naturally. But sometimes for some of us, the battle's still raging. When disease is cured and life-threatening crisis averted, it seems easy to give God the glory for those outcomes because they are beyond our control and usually deemed miraculous by today's terminology. But when an effort is put forth on our part to do good, sometimes, maybe not you, but sometimes me, sometimes I want the credit. Sometimes I take the glory. That's not right. God wants us to quietly, humbly, and joyfully do and give. Why? So that in everything, He and only He gets the credit. Remember God's point of why there was only 300 people. There's an old saying, it's not in my notes, but it just came to me. Do good and disappear. God wants men and women who are willing to sacrifice their jars of clay, even when it seems impossible, so that His Spirit will be all the world sees. Part of the reason for this lesson, part of the reason for the emotion, I guess I should apologize for that too, is we have a lot of people here that are gone. But they were brave. And they were soldiers. They were true. And they didn't care if they were part of the 1%. They marched on. The battle cry is now for the rest of us. Are we willing? Are we able? Are we prepared to fight God's fight no matter the cost? You know, it's just a little verse. It's just a tiny little verse in the New Testament. And it's easy for Danny to read that verse and overlook it and go on. Because there's a lot in that chapter. But I'm just going to just pick out that one verse and I'm going to leave it with you as we get ready for the invitation song. Philippians 4:3. I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He said all. Not all for you, but all that He's given me. All that He gives me, He knows I can do if I rely on Him. If I would just get that through my head and my heart, things would be so much easier. I leave that with you. Gideon and his men won. A lot of people died. But in the end, God was glorified. That's the point I leave with you today as we stand and sing.